Here on Stolen Lives, we discuss brutal and heartbreaking crimes against children. Themes may include child murder, torture, and sexual, domestic and child abuse. I do try my best to remain respectful for the babies in these stories and leave out unnecessary details that honestly, none of us need to know to understand the frustration of why and how this ever happened. However, if you find any of these themes triggering, this podcast may not be for you. Listener discretion is advised. This week's story is a listener suggestion. Thank you to Ellie for bringing Willow's story to my attention, as well as so many others who have suggested Willow's story, but Ellie was the first. Because I really wanted 100% of the focus to be on the children. But I almost feel like I need to apologise to Ellie and everyone else who suggested I cover what happened to Willow. This is a story that is important to me, and I held off covering Willow's story far too long. I just wanted to make sure I was giving this story the attention it deserved, and to put the time into the research and preparation it deserves. I'm also going to take this time to say, every suggestion I get means the world to me, but I do get a lot. I would say at least 3 or 4 every day. And this podcast, while it's not exactly a one-person show, my family are incredible with their support. But I'm the only one who is involved from start to finish these days. Each of these stories takes time, around 40 hours from start to finish, and I also have my day job. Please keep that in mind with your suggestions, and any delay in my releasing an episode on your suggestion. Now I've rambled on enough. Let's go to this week's story. May 2020, Brisbane, Australia. First responders were called to a family home, on reports there was a child found suddenly deceased. Nothing could prepare paramedics for what they would see, what they would write in their reports as extremely confronting. Willow was a vulnerable child with Down syndrome. She was wasted away and covered with insects, eaten away by rats. The medical examiner believing she was left in this condition for 2 days before emergency services were called. This is Willow's story.
Last week, the girl's father, Mark James Dunn, was charged hours after the 4-year-old, who was born with Down syndrome, was found dead at their Cannon Hill home. Police allege she died days earlier with evidence of malnourishment and sustained mistreatment.
We continue to investigate all aspects of Willow's health, care, treatment in the days, weeks, months and years leading up to her death.
Willow Dunn was born October 29, 2015. In Brisbane, Queensland, Australia, to parents Naomi and Mark Dunn. Willow had a big brother who was 3 years older than her. Naomi also had 3 almost adult children from a previous relationship. This was just a big, gorgeous, blended family to dote on baby Willow, which was important, because Willow was a special little girl born with Down syndrome. Despite her challenges, though, Willow would later be described as a sweet and happy baby, who was always smiling and full of giggles. When Willow was still a newborn, her mother Naomi would tragically pass away on November 5, 2015, from complications following childbirth. If that wasn't enough trauma for the newborn baby and her 3-year-old brother, Dunn packed up his children and sent them to live with their aunt and uncle. This honestly, in hindsight, was the best decision. The siblings were happy there, and they were loved and nurtured. It was the perfect home for the siblings. The aunt and uncle adored these children like they could be their own. So much so, they actually contested for permanent custody of the brother and sister. But a year after the children were allowed to bond and relax in this environment, Dunn turned back up to take Willow and her brother back to his home. Not only a new home, but with a different woman in the maternal role. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Before Naomi passed, she had her best friend in Shannon White. The two had known each other their entire lives. They were more like sisters than best friends. White would even be the maid of honour at Naomi and Dunn's wedding in 2014. And after Willow was born, White would gush all over social media how adorable the new baby was. Quote, "My best friend's baby, Willow, is such a beautiful soul. I can't wait to meet her. Naomi, you've done such an amazing job with a roller coaster pregnancy. You're a great mum and an awesome friend. Love you, babe." Unquote. despite Naomi and Dwight being very close. Around 18 months after Naomi died in 2017, White had moved away from her family home in Adelaide, South Australia, and moved basically across the country to move in with Dunn, who at the time was living on Bent Road in the Brisbane suburb of Cannon Hill in Queensland, Australia. Only a few months prior, White and Dunn deciding to start a relationship, White bringing with her 19-year-old daughter Talia and her 12-year-old son. White also had other adult children, but they had already moved on and had families of their own. These daughters were still living in Adelaide, and they would later state they hadn't had any sort of relationship with their mother in years. Even at this point, this tells you something about the type of mother White was. Life seemed to be going well at the Dunn home, though, and White integrated well into the family, and she seemed to be enjoying her new life in Brisbane. She loved playing mother to Willow and her big brother, posting many photos to social media of her new family. In one photo, White is seen cuddling with Willow, the accompanying caption reading, "Absolutely beautiful little girl." Another photo showing Dunn holding Willow, and here White writes, "A couple of my favourite people, loves of my life." From the outside, the family looked happy, and Dunn and White's relationship was going from strength to strength. On social media, the couple posted numerous pictures together, and they were always tagging each other in loving, cringy memes. White's family loved Dunn too, often telling her how much of a catch he was and how handsome he was. Gross. White and Dunn would quickly have a child of their own together, a baby boy, born August 30th, 2019. White would then post a number of photos of her and the new baby to social media, including a video of this baby playing with his toys on the floor. It is thought at this time was when the neglect of Willow began. May 25th, 2020, 9:20 a.m. Emergency services were called to the home, under reports that a 4-year-old girl was found dead, that no one knew what happened to her. Now, first responders were expecting nothing really. Possibly a child that had died in a tragic accident. Nothing could prepare them for what they were about to discover. In the back bedroom of the home, Willow was found lying in her crib and she was deceased. But this wasn't a sudden thing. It was clear Willow had been dead for a number of days. But that wasn't the most disturbing thing going on here. It seemed as if rats had started to eat away at the little girl's face. Her body was severely malnourished. She had pressure sores, some of them being so bad that they went all the way down to the bone, to the point where the bone was now showing. It was apparent Willow was left here to lie for some time. Dunn allegedly said to the paramedics when they arrived at the home, quote, "I'm in trouble, aren't I?" Unquote. Yeah, what do you think? You are more than in trouble. But an investigator would actually say, in my experience, ambulance and police officers, generally speaking, are fairly resilient people, but I can assure you they were confronted with a scene that will stay with them for many years. There was no other explanation to what happened to Willow here, only that Dunn and White had left little Willow to rot in her bed. She had been helpless and was left lying there to literally starve to death. It had been weeks, or even months, that she'd suffered like this too, to develop the pressure sores that she had. Like, this wasn't just surface level. You could actually see her bone. Her skin and flesh had been that eaten away. Willow's body and fingernails were dirty, and she was missing patches of hair. Keratin had begun to calcify over her skin. Willow had a lice infestation so bad that nits had colonised further down her spine, something the creatures don't usually do. Willow's father, Mark Dunn, was placed under arrest the same day that Willow's body had been discovered. He was charged with murder. Now, Queensland had just added a new definition of murder in May the previous year, so 2019. So now murder included reckless indifference to human life. And this is what Dunn ended up being charged with. Dunn told authorities that he discovered that Willow died 2 days before he called through to emergency services, May 23rd, 2020. But he didn't call for medical assistance at that point for reasons that he couldn't explain. But I would imagine it was completely selfish, not wanting to get into trouble with law enforcement and in turn losing custody of the other children in the household. Now, even though Dunn was arrested, Willow's stepmother, Shannon White, was not. And as far as the public knew, there was no reason to believe that White was involved with Willow's death. Although, that doesn't make sense to me at all. White was in that house. She was responsible in a parental role to ensure Willow was receiving, at the very least, her basic needs. There is no ignorance here. She was just as liable here for Willow dying in the condition she did as Dunn.
Cuffed and off to court, the 43-year-old stepmother, Shannon White, charged with Willow Dunn's murder.
Despite today's second arrest in this homicide, detectives are continuing to progress this investigation.
Common sense would prevail, because several days later, Shannon White too would be arrested, also being charged with murder. Once she was in custody, White had bizarrely told police she didn't need to take care of Willow because she wasn't her responsibility, that Willow wasn't her biological child. Now, this is not only her partner's young disabled child, but also the daughter of her deceased best friend. Such a best friend that she coupled up with her husband almost immediately and then neglected her vulnerable youngest child. You cannot make this stuff up with what these monsters say to excuse their actions. One of the many problems about White's statement about not having to care for Willow since she wasn't her biological child. But White had no issue caring for Willow's 7-year-old brother, with no apparent signs of mistreatment towards him whatsoever. A friend of the family would say that absolutely White doted on her own children. So, she was only a monster against a sweet child with Down syndrome who had lost her own mother. Nice. White also told police her 19-year-old daughter Talia had taken it upon herself at one point to care for Willow, that she had assisted with the little girl's bathing, feeding and changing diapers. But for unknown reasons, she'd stopped caring for Willow at some point. Although unlike others in the true crime realm, I'm not going to point blame at Talia. She'd only just turned 19. She wasn't always at the home, as what you would expect for someone that age. She was living her own life outside the home. At 19, she is still only a kid in my opinion, and shouldn't have been given any of the responsibilities for caring for Willow. It's a testament to her for doing what she did for Willow during her time living at the home. To me, the blame for Willow's condition and death falls 100% onto Dunn and White, and not Talia. Something else that was discovered during the police investigation, that Willow was not registered for her Down syndrome with the National Disability Insurance Scheme, or NDIS, as it's more commonly known as. And this helps connect disabled people with the necessary resources, as well as needed funding for medical costs. So that being said, Willow was most likely not receiving the services she needed. And in between that and her stepmother not wanting to take care of her, she was being severely neglected. When Dunn spoke to police, he said that this happened because he wasn't able to handle his daughter's special needs, and that he had become severely depressed after his wife's death. Although he wasn't depressed enough to start a relationship with her best friend and to have a child with her. I'm sorry, but this all makes me so mad. Dunn also banned his wife's other children from seeing Willow. He had blocked their phone numbers as well as all their social media profiles. When police had been at the family's home the day that Willow was found, they also discovered that there were toys, including a train set, stuffed animals and a pink princess castle, among others left out for trash. It's likely these were Willow's toys being thrown out. Though, I'm honestly surprised they waited this long to throw them out with the way they treated her. Willow's autopsy would discover that she had died from not only extreme malnutrition, but also because of the inflicted pressure sores. She had been left there to lie for so long, helpless and in pain, that she had basically no muscular tissue around her mouth, no food in her stomach, and she was severely dehydrated. That even though the pressure sores were throughout Willow's body, the majority of these were found on her back. The large amount there suggested that she was laid down on her back by someone and then she was unable to move again on her own. Whether that be due to injury or ability, or because she was just that wasted away from lack of substance that she couldn't move anymore. Willow also had infected sores that were worn down to her pelvic bone. This being caused by most likely wearing the same diaper for extended periods of time, and it rubbing against her skin. And because she was unable to really move, Willow wasn't able to change positions to take the pressure off. A doctor who had examined Willow's body would say if a child was able to move even just a little bit and change position, This would immediately improve the circulation of blood flow through this area and to slow down or even reverse the sores. Willow's body also showed signs of pancreatitis. This would have been caused by her poor nutrition and severe dehydration. It was discovered that the last time Willow had been seen by a doctor was in 2018, 2 years earlier. And at that time, the little girl seemed normal, lively and healthy. At this last doctor's visit, Willow's height was recorded to being in the 25th percentile. She weighed a healthy 20 kilos or 44 pounds. At the time of her death, her height was only in the 5th percentile, and she weighed only 6.5 kilograms or just over 14 pounds, about half of what would have been the lowest acceptable weight for her age. So basically, Willow had stopped growing. According to the doctor, this drastic kind of drop would have taken at least 8 months to occur. So again, around the time of the birth of Dunn and White's baby. We are just going to take a quick break now for a word from one of our sponsors. Neighbours to the family were shocked to hear about Willow's death. They went to the home to lay flowers for the girl. When interviewed by the news media, many said they weren't even aware that a 4-year-old lived at the home. That although the family had lived at the property for about a year, no one saw Willow playing in the front yard or out with the family. When friends would ask about Willow's whereabouts, White would say Willow was staying with family to excuse her absence.
They're now looking interstate.
We have initiated investigations and inquiries in New South Wales, and in particular, we have advanced investigations that will continue and progress into South Australia.
Seeking anyone who knew the family and can shed light on how the girl was looked after.
Police say this investigation is huge. There have been more than 25 detectives working on the case, and they say the emotional and confronting nature of it is driving them.
To get the best and the fairest outcome we possibly can, because essentially, Willow no longer has that voice. So it provides incredible motivation for all the police that are involved in this.
It was announced an independent investigation into Willow's death would be conducted by the Queensland and Family Child Commission. The investigation to look into where the system failed Willow. It's been said the Department of Child Safety had been notified about Willow on more than one occasion. However, the Child Safety Minister, Di Farmer, declined to comment whether the family were known to the department or not. June 2022, Shannon White applied for bail at the Brisbane Supreme Court. Her defence team argued that the case for reckless murder was weak and that her case wouldn't be held for quite some time. But the defence did agree that there was probably a strong enough case for manslaughter, meaning White would only face a sentence of 6 years if convicted. Also adding to the argument for bail was the magnitude of the case, and because of that, it could be several years before the case was heard in court. And at this point, White had already been in custody for 2 years, so there was a concern there that White would overserve her sentence. Judge Justice David Boddis disagreed that the case against White was weak, and as such, White's application for bail was declined. That even if the charges were downgraded to that of manslaughter, he was confident her sentence would be more than 6 years, just based on the severity of Willow's death, Shannon White being seen wiping away tears in the courtroom. July 20th, 2022. Both Mark Dunn and Shannon White had their charges upgraded to include an additional count of child cruelty. White was also charged with possession of dangerous drugs, although it's unclear what kind of drugs these were or the circumstances that were surrounding that charge. Magistrate Mark Nolan ruled Dunn and White to stand trial at the Supreme Court of Queensland. Mark Dunn is yet to go to trial. I couldn't find any date set, but if found guilty, he faces a life sentence of which he needs to serve at least 20 years. August 2024, Shannon White accepted a plea deal, pleading guilty to manslaughter, as well as one count of cruelty to a child. The following month, September 2024, White would go to sentencing. She would be sentenced to 9.5 years for the manslaughter charge and 2 years for the cruelty charge, both to be served concurrently. And since she'd already been in custody for more than 4 years, she will be eligible to apply for parole in only a few months from now, June 2026. In handing down the sentence, Justice Peter Davis said White's behaviour towards Willow appeared callous. He said White stopped posting photos of Willow around the time her biological son was born. Quote, "You are quite content to pursue your family life at the exclusion and neglect of Willow." Unquote. June 2020. Willow Dunn was remembered in a public memorial held by strangers. The memorial being organised in Cannon Hill Park by Brisbane's Down syndrome community. Willow's family had given the event their blessing but chose not to attend. The organiser of the event said, "None of us know Willow, and if we did, who knows, maybe things would have been different. But just to see love and support from everyone for a child no one knew, she's got a big place in our hearts." Many attending the memorial had children of their own with Down syndrome. One mother in particular, whose son has Down syndrome, said, "You think about how pure and innocent all children are, but children with Down syndrome give nothing but love." The Down syndrome community also threw its support behind an online candlelight vigil for Willow, organisers asking the community to light a candle in Willow's honour. Attendees posting tributes online using the hashtag #HerNameIsWillow. A few of Willow's older brothers and sisters mourned her death. Naomi Dunn's oldest son spoke of his half-sister on a social media post in the days after she was found. Quote, "Rest in peace, Willow. It's so heartbreaking that things have turned out this way, but you will be forever in our hearts. Fly high with Mum." Unquote. If you have your own thoughts and theories on the story we discussed today, or any stories we talk about here on Stolen Lives, please search Stolen Lives Podcast on Facebook, like the page so you don't miss an episode, and join the Stolen Lives discussion group to talk about your thoughts and theories. You can also talk to us on Instagram, Stolen Lives Podcast. If you like what you heard today, we would appreciate it if you share this episode on your social media of choice and subscribe and leave a positive review on your podcast app. Today's episode was researched and written by me, Ali. Hosting and production was also by me, Ali. Music is by Mayu.